As we talk about partnership covenant, what does the Bible teach about being a member of the church? What does the Bible teach about that?
Salvation.
Don't forsake the assembling together of ourselves. It means salvation, covenant. We use the term partnership because, you know, churches typically use the term member to describe those people who are officially a part of their congregation. Now, this is my opinion, that when we use the word membership to mean an official part of a local congregation, that we are diminishing the value of that word. For so many years, when we used to use the term here, membership, we'd always get confused. We're talking about members that go to our church. Well, do you mean members or do you mean members? You see? So I hope you'll forgive us if we dispense the word membership when we talk about partnership. Membership means if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have given your life to Him, you are a member of the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. I think that term is so special, we ought to keep it that way. Okay, and that's why when we talk about the membership of the official membership of Harvest Fellowship, we use the word partnership or becoming a partner. It's not too creative, but that's the word we use, partnership. So a partnership covenant is the covenant you enter into to come into what other churches would call membership. If you belong to Christ, you're a member of this congregation. No doubt about it. But partnership is that kind of that official explanation we use. What is partnership? The early church had a way of discerning their faithful congregants, and they organized accordingly. There's certainly a structure you see throughout the New Testament, you know, pastors, elders, the leaders in the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, elders, evangelists. I got the order wrong, but you know what I mean? There was a hierarchy of structure. And there was these levels of deaconing too. Outside of that, there were deacons who had official positions, and there were deacons who really just had servant position. Deacons are those who just serve all the things of the body. If you teach Sunday school, you're doing a deaconing type work. If you count the offering, you're doing a deaconing type of work. If you just show up, start sweeping the sidewalk, you're deaconing. Because that word just simply means servant. It means you're serving the congregation. Are there levels of deacons in the New Testament? Absolutely. Some have official position. Some have no official position. So there's just, you see in the New Testament this hierarchy that the early church had a way of structuring. So similarly, partnership is one way. We at Harvest Fellowship seek to identify those in our congregation, age 16 or older, who are committed to Christ, to holy living, to body life, to shared vision, and to the leadership. You see, I'm getting ahead of myself here. We believe that the partnership covenant is really a description of basic Christianity, and that the followers of Christ should find easy agreement in its principles. And I want to mention before I get any further, the partnership covenant you have, if God so leads you to apply for partnership, fill it out, sign it. There's a yellow folder back on that table in the back, and just put it in there. And we'll collect those. And the church board reviews those applications and responds accordingly, and then we have a partnership meeting the second to last Sunday in January. So though we would hope that everyone would have this same commitment, yet we refuse to compel anyone to participate, because partnership is a commitment. It is a responsibility. It is a duty to which we should willingly give of ourselves. Now, while one need not become a partner, partnership is essential to have a voice and a vote in congregational matters. It's essential for leadership on the church board. It's essential for being a part of district or denominational councils. And the reason we renew this commitment, this covenant, every year, three reasons I'll give you why we do it this way. One, it gives better access to new members. I like that. Gives better access to new members. Secondly, to remind on a yearly basis what our expectations and standards are. And thirdly, we need to keep our list current, seeing that what matters is our current relationship with God. In other words, in some churches, once you become a member for life, even if your commitment to Christ wanes. And it's us saying, well, let's see where we are currently. Are we still currently holding to these values and these commitments? And so that's why we do it this way. Well, let's talk about the terms of partnership. And if you'll take your partnership covenant, I'm going to work my way down through each point on that partnership covenant. The first one is this: I acknowledge my sinfulness and receive the forgiveness made available to me through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection as the only means of my salvation. So here we see Harvest Fellowship partners are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." In other words, the first essential term of our partnership is that you are saved. You are a believer. You have come to Christ by faith. Now, on all that, as I work my way through these points, let me encourage you. If you say, "This is my commitment," just check that box. You know, analyze, check your heart before the Lord. You say, "Man, my heart says yes and amen on that point." Just check it. This is not committing you at this point to becoming a... But when we're done, if you realize you've checked all your boxes, you might say, "You know, I think my heart wants to move toward partnership." So check those. So the second line we see there is, I affirm the purpose, mission, vision, and values of Harvest Fellowship. So Harvest Fellowship partners are committed to the local church. It's kind of interesting. Only once or twice, really, I think only once, Jesus, or the word for church, is used to describe the concept. But over 70 times, when you see the word church used, it refers to a local congregation. So the one time Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's the idea. That's the concept. That's the first time it's mentioned in Scripture. You know, that I'll build my... of course, the Greek word means the called out ones. Those who've been called out of the world. I'll build that. But every other reference to church is a reference to a local church. We might easily conclude, therefore, when we mention the word church in Scripture, we're referring to a local congregation. Yes, we are part of the church worldwide, international, the invisible church. Someone has used that term. Actually, truthfully, the church really is a visible church, because the church is a local church. Philippians 2, verse 1-2 says, "So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit," that's that word koinonia, where we get that word for fellowship and friendship. It's the deepest part of relationship, koinonia. "So if there is any love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." So here Paul is calling the Philippian church, look at those phrases there, to be of the same mind, to be of the same love, to be of one mind. I think one of your translations here might say, to be as one man. Such a unity. And if your heart says, Man, I affirm the purpose, mission, visions, and values of Harvest Fellowship, and you're committed to the local church, then your heart is there. And one likely reason that Harvest Fellowship is your church home. Let me use an analogy. You know, when God brings a man and a woman together, you know, there is a resonance, something in them that says, I want to spend my life with this person. Now, sometimes that's challenged a year down the road, 5 years down the road, or ten years down the road, you know. But the reason you came together is that God drew you. There was a resonance. And I think in the same way is that one reason you're here is that God drew you here. There was something here of the church that you said, my heart resonates. I resonate with the doctrine. I resonate with the preaching. Or I resonate with the worship or the vision that the church has. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have questions or that you'd like to see things done differently or wish we'd play more hymns or wish we'd play less hymns or wish we'd really rock it up or wish they'd turn those guitars down. But overall, you say, my heart resonates with this congregation. We're all individuals. We all have different. We're all shaped by different biases. Obviously, we're going to desire different things. But overall, at the heart of our commitment is, you know, there's something in my heart that resonates with the ministry of the local church. The next one, I am committed to personal purity by bringing to the church a submitted, spirit-filled self. Let me stop for a second. Visitors, you say, oh boy, I came on the wrong day because, you know, you're talking about in-house matters. No, I think this is good for every believer just to say, you know, are these the common values that every congregation should have? I believe it is. I believe something, if you're visiting, just take it back to your home church and say, you know, this, we need to have this kind of resonance with the truth of God and the principles of Scripture that call us together into a congregation. So, Harvest Fellowship partners live a spirit-controlled life. Now, I felt on this point, look, we're all pilgrims. We're all imperfect at this. You know, a spirit-controlled, spirit-filled life is not a perfect life. You're not going to have it till you see Jesus face to face. I'd love to say from this moment on, none of you will sin. But it will not be true. Some of us won't even make it out of the door today before we do. We still have some remnants of our old nature, though we're being transformed. But Harvest Fellowship partners live a spirit-controlled life. Now, I use that word control because I'm really taking it from the Greek. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine therein, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word, filled with the Spirit, it really has the idea of coming under the influence and coming under the control of the person of the Holy Spirit. Just as a person comes under the influence of alcohol and is, in a sense, controlled by it to some degree, rather than that, Spirit-filled believers are to become under the influence of the Holy Spirit and are controlled. They live a life that is directed by the Lord. And they're pursuing a life maturing in purity and holiness and submission to God. That's spirit-filled life. Growing in purity, holiness, submission to God, humility, the fruit of the Spirit. Different things. Next, we read, I am committed to a lifestyle of worship and will make weekly corporate worship at Harvest Fellowship a high priority. Notice the word high priority. It doesn't say weekly priority because some of you have different responsibilities that take you out. But in your heart, Harvest Fellowship partners are involved in corporate worship. If you're not familiar with the use of that word corporate, it doesn't mean corporation. It just means us all together. Corporate worship. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing. I was listening to a sermon this morning on the internet, and the fellow was from Australia, and I didn't realize this, that every pastor and minister in Australia is paid the same salary by the government. So they're not moved by money as far as where they go. It doesn't matter if the church is big or small. They're all paid the same. I thought that was kind of interesting. And we could, in our Americanism, we could probably critique the downside of being employed by the government. But at any rate, what he said is that virtually every Australian sees themselves as a Christian. Now, are they all Christians? Oh, no. Are they all in church? No. Very widely, they forsake the assembling together of themselves. But we believe it's a high value that we live a lifestyle of worship, and that we do make weekly corporate worship at Harvest Fellowship a high priority. See, the early church modeled this commitment, and we are to meeting with one another to seek the Lord. Acts 2 verse 46 tells us something of that early church. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. This was the lifestyle of the early church. I don't know about you, but I'm always in my heart trying to follow the purity and the simplicity of that early church model. And they were day to day in each other's homes. And there's the know one another part, John, you mentioned. You know, there's the fellowship part, you know. But they worshiped together. They worshiped together. And if you say, you know, it's a high priority in my life, check the box. Say, that is, my heart resonates with that. Next, we see this commitment, this covenant aspect. I am committed to harmonious relationships and to protecting the unity of my church by acting in love toward others in the church and refusing to gossip and criticize. Unity and affirmation are at the heart of the church. Criticism and gossip are at the heart of division. So Harvest Fellowship partners are committed to love and unity. Now, obviously, we should say, there are ways in Christian love to disagree. Amen? That we have divergences of opinions and whatever, but that we can do so in a way that is Christ-honoring and loving. And no doubt Scripture very much encourages us to watch how we use our words and to use our words to build up and not to tear down. As mentioned earlier in Philippians 2:2, we were exhorted to be of the same mind, to have the same love, to be in full accord and of one mind. And then Ephesians 4:29 exhorts us to guard this precious unity by guarding our words. Here's what it says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is hopeful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, the book of James says, if anyone can control this mouth, they're a perfect man. It's something we work at all the time. But because, as the Scripture says, love hopes all things, we need to work really hard at just really hoping and thinking the best of another person. We see them do something we don't understand, think the best. Hope the best. Try to say maybe their intentions were right. Now, if it's immoral, you know, at least pray for them. As the Lord leads, maybe try to encourage them. But love hopes all things, believes all things, thinks the best of other people. Love watches its words so that others are not criticized. I mean, I was reading, where is it? It's Romans, is it 15? Where it talks about, you know, one person you know, sees the Sabbath as one day a week and one sees all days alike. One is limited, feels limited by the food they feel like they can eat. And of course, it's talking about those who are still kind of bound by the Jewish law, but others could eat everything, you know. But it says in there, who are you to judge another man's servant? God's able to make that person stand. So the Scripture teaches that even if we have people who are in legalism, if they belong to Christ, we're not to be their judge. And we can be the judge with our words and our criticisms and some of the things. May God help us. Amen. But as Harvest Fellowship partners, we are committed to love and to unity. You know, I'll throw this in. This one's actually free of charge. You know, I've written on it. I've spoken on it. I've thought about it. How to leave a church. If you ever come to a place where you have a crisis of conscience, and in good conscience you can no longer exist with that church, then I think there is a Christ-honoring way in which you leave. Now, I'll tell you what not to do, and I've seen it happen way too many times. One person will write letters to everyone in the congregation, tell them how bad the church board is, and their elders and the pastor, and just slam them. Get on the phone and just burn up the phone lines and just get all kinds of support and divide the church. Now, people, is that a Christ-honoring thing? May it never be us. If we come to a place of conscience where we can't continue, let's not be the judge of another man's servant. Let's just leave it to God. And so, as believers, this is basic Christianity. We are committed to love and unity, to thinking the best, and to speaking words that encourage and build up the body of Christ, and words that do not alienate people. You know, the proverb says, like the word of a whisperer is like a dainty morsel, and it goes down into the inmost being. You know, and the next time you're with this person that you heard this gospel about, you've got this question about them. And you shouldn't. God wants you to freely love them, not to be poisoned by things that separate us. So it's something we're all working at, but to speak well and to think well of each other. Next we see in this covenant, I'm committed to organizational loyalty by contributing to the church my time, my talents, and treasure, and to be responsive to the leadership God has established. So we see here that Harvest Fellowship partners are generous and servant-hearted. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. So whatever gifts you have, your finances, the talents you have, time you have, that we are as stewards of God's grace to use those to serve one another. We're to be generous and servant-hearted, and we're not just talking money, but generous people, generous with our time, generous with our involvements and our commitments, using who we are and what we have to serve one another, whatever gifts we have, building up the body and advancing Christ's kingdom through our giving. Now, obviously, that does mean money. And if you know me well, you know that I'm a person who's hesitant to talk about money. But I will say, when we look at church board positions, people serving on the church board, we look to our treasurer and we don't get down and micromanage and figure out who's tithing and who's not. You know, your pastor knows nothing about what you give. You know, and ultimately the treasurer understands the bottom line. Ushers may count the offering, but it's the treasurer alone who knows in this church. But we'll look to our treasurer and we'll say, we're looking at a church board position here. Is this person generously involved financially in the church? And the reason why is this. There's an ethical issue. Is that leaders of a church should not oversee its budget if they themselves are not a part of that. And sometimes that makes us have a smaller slate than we'd like to have. But if you are generous and servant-hearted, that'll make its way not only in your time and your talents, but into your finances. Now, I understand people have different circumstances. You know, if you divided home between your husband and wife, one's a believer and one's not, you're just going to have to work it out before the Lord. And you're not going to be able to do what you'd like to do. You know, there are ways to give the widow's mite, amen, in a way that is honoring to the Lord. And we certainly understand that too at this church. The last part of that, it says, be responsive to the leadership God has established. Hebrews 13:17 addresses that. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Now let's just stop that. Isn't that really an easygoing term in 21st century America? Obey and submit. Don't you just love that? You know, isn't that, don't you, yes, can't wait to obey and submit. Sounds like dog obedience to Americans, doesn't it? Obey, submit. But these are biblical ideas. You are first a citizen of heaven. You are not an American citizen. You're first. Your constitution is the Bible. You know? And so, we have to be generous in attitude toward our leaders too. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping a watch over your souls. Let me stop there. Someone asked, well, the elders meet every week. What do they talk about? Well, I'm afraid it's kind of confidential because we are watching over the souls of the congregation. We are concerned about a person who no longer attends or who maybe has fallen into an indiscretion. Or someone who's just down and needs a word of encouragement. We're not going to publish those things. But we care for the body of Christ. We watch over the souls. We take tremendous feel of responsibility. The love of Christ compels us to do what we can. And we make many great efforts to try to reach some people. And some people just don't want to be reached. But we do what we can. So obey them, submit to them, for they're keeping a watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, isn't it interesting? The Scripture says, if you want to pursue what's best for yourself, obey and submit to your elders, your leaders. It's beneficial to you and I. So we are to be a joy to lead by those whom God has placed in leadership in His church. Now look, we live in a rebellious generation. We don't trust any of our leaders. You know, it takes the Spirit of God to submit to imperfect leaders. It takes the Spirit of God to guide us into that. Imperfect leaders. The next commitment is this. I'm committed to personal growth by acknowledging Jesus' leadership, by seeking to follow Him as the center of my life, and by growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. My small group discipleship connection will be, and then you see some things there. We just tried to make this as wide as possible, that each of us have a discipleship connection. So Harvest Fellowship Partners are serious about discipleship. We're serious about discipleship. Jesus never said, go into all the world and make decisions for Christ. Just see how many of you get lined up at the altar and saying the prayer of repentance. Which is neither one of those things are biblical ideas. People believed and became Christians. That's the biblical idea. But But he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Acts 2:42 tells us about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. See, the early church was serious about discipleship. Jesus was serious about discipleship. Jesus said, if you don't... I'm going to try to remember it, bring it from memory here. But unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow, you cannot be my disciple. Disciples follow. Disciples sacrifice themselves. Disciples carry their crosses. The cross, I believe that's a reference to willing to suffer public shame. So willing to suffer public shame, self-denial, and following. We are very serious at Harvest Fellowship about discipleship. Let me ask you, would you agree that the problem with the church in America is that too many believers do not live transformed lives nor live in the victory that Jesus promised? Do you agree? So all those Christians out there have problems, don't they? Yeah, I heard you say baby Christians. In other words, they started, but they never... I'm telling you, time does not make a disciple. You can have been a Christian for 30 years and still be really an infant in Christ. Because this is a walk, to be walked out, to be grown through, a discipleship. So if you agree that the problem with the church in America or the world is untransformed believers who are not disciples, then be a part of the solution. Be a disciple. If you do not have a clear discipleship connection in this church, we will be coming back to you as a church board and just asking you if you would reevaluate that. If you want to be a church partner, we want you to find some discipleship connection. And we make it easy for you. Go to home group, go to Sunday school, be a part of Wednesday night Bible study, meet one-on-one with somebody. We just try to make it easy. Find a place of discipleship connection, because we are very serious about discipleship at Harvest Fellowship. And you know why? Because Jesus is. Folks, I believe this is elementary, basic Christianity. I'm not trying to lift up some high standard that only a few in this congregation can aspire to. Everyone can. Here's that last line. I am committed to biblical community and will actively pursue honorable and loving relationships within the body. Harvest Fellowship partners are relationally connected. 12 times the New Testament says, love one another. Love one another. Here's one of them. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And you know, it's just going to take time. How are some of the ways that you can do that? I mean, John's mentioned one of them. Be a part of the night of blessing. Come and just join in the fellowship of it. Our home groups. Though we study the Scripture in the home group, our main purpose for a home group is really fellowship. It's body building. It's friendship building. Now folks, now I'm getting older and older, and I've been a Christian now longer than I've been a non-Christian now, finally. Barely, but I have. Nope, a little more than barely now. Here's my observation for years of ministry. People, think of the irony of this. People will stay forever in a bad church if they have good friendships. And people will leave good churches if they don't have friendships. I believe that's true. I'm just telling you, 25 years or so of ministry, I'm kind of coming to that conclusion. Folks, friendship is very, very important. Very important. God uses friendship and relationship. It's part of really the great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is part of that. The Scripture says, be good to all people, especially the household of faith. So, Harvest Fellowship partners are relationally connected. Sometimes just working together on a Saturday can be a tremendous event. And we've had tremendous relational events. Some of the bigger pushes we've had on this building, and Randall mentioned he was a part of that, you know, was the food good and the fellowship sweet? Absolutely. Just priceless. There's a thousand ways. We just being together. In conclusion, I was told about 10, 15 years ago that Christians should never use the word on that screen because people hate it and run from it. Commitment. Commitment. And yet the New Testament is full of our commitment to Christ, commitment to one another, commitment to godly values, commitment to kingdom living. No, it doesn't use that word necessarily, but it says it a thousand different ways. And folks, I do believe these are the fundamental and basic tenets of New Testament living. You know, nothing valuable in life is attained without sacrifice and commitment. Would you agree with that? Nothing valuable in life is attained without sacrifice and commitment. And if from this platform, from this pulpit, we can't use words like commitment and self-sacrifice, you know, then our nation is doomed. We're just going to end up a bunch of self-seeking so-called believers. Well, I want to say with the words of Paul, but we have better things. We have better things in mind of you. You know, that the church cannot be reduced to a bunch of self-seeking people, but a people who live sacrificially for Jesus Christ and for others. It's going to take sacrifice and commitment. I mean, consider the dedication and sacrifice that the military give on Mike Huckabee. Who watches Mike Huckabee? You ever watch it? My special at the conclusion of this service is a song by Andy Williams. Moon River. He sang it yesterday. But that was fun. But more importantly, on that show, they had a mother and a daughter. And in this family, the husband and four of their sons were in the military. And right now, three sons and the father are deploying. And that fourth son is just returning. And as they interviewed the wife, she had the dog tags around on a necklace. And they were there as a reminder of the commitment, the sacrifice that her family was making for the good of the country. And there was the daughter there. And the daughter, I think, was 16, maybe 17. And they asked her, Mike Huckabee asked her what she wanted to do. And she says she wanted to go into the service and serve her country, that she was raised patriotically and believed in our country and loved freedom and believed that it was worth defending, protecting. This is a family that put their lives where their values were, you know. They said, we love freedom and we love our country so much that we're willing to put our lives on the line for the good of this nation. Folks, how much more? The kingdom of God. We need a new word for what it means to be patriotic to the kingdom of God. Maybe some of you can think of it. But we are, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take commitment. We're going to have to get this old word out, commitment, in an age where no one wants to commit to. By the way, I don't want to commit to phone plans or satellite plans and all that either. You know. But if you think about the dedication and sacrifice the military give, how much more is Jesus worthy of everything we can give. Now, folks, look, whether we choose to sign the partnership covenant or not, we still cannot escape the implications of its teaching. Living every day committed, sold out to Jesus, dead to self and alive to God, faithfully committed to His people, and engaged in the work of the Lord. So, all I would ask of you, and if at the end of this sermon you say, you know, I checked every box, then you might say, my heart is there. Then it's not too much. You might even sign it and put it back there in the folder today. But take it home. Pray over it. And say, God, what would you have me do? And just do as the Lord leads. Amen? Let's stand as we sing this final song. Let's lend our voices to it. We love His kingdom. We love the church. You know, I'm sorry, just one more thought. When I meet pastors, we are a funny breed. In spite of what we sometimes go through, we all have one value that we all identify. We love the church. We love the church. We want the best for the church. We love those whom God has called us to serve. Father, dismiss us now in Your grace and in Your love. And oh God, to talk about such a high and lofty call, what it means to be a believer. Lord, may the yes and amen be in our heart to follow You with all diligence, to love Your people as much as possible, to support and love and to be a body of fellowship here at Harvest Fellowship. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.